I'm Aaron Schachter, in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. The civil war in Syria is raging on. It's hard to tell some days with all the attention focused on the diplomats trying to hammer out a deal on Syria's chemical weapons. But on the ground, the fighting grinds on and people are dying. For an update on the war, we turn to Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Oklahoma. I started by asking him who's winning in Syria.
Nobody's winning in Syria. Everybody's losing. And what we have is a stalemate. And that stalemate has been going on for about a year. The U.S. is supplying help and weapons to the rebels, but not enough for them to win, just enough so that they don't lose. And that is a policy of stalemate.
Not only is there a stalemate, but there seems to be quite a bit of fighting between the rebels themselves. That's what we're hearing recently. Secular and jihadi factions are going at each other. Is there any way that this group we call rebels, the opposition, can stay together?
Well, there's going to be a big shakedown. There are over 1,000 militias. Some of them are related to al-Qaeda. Others are very Islamist, but in a coalition with the al-Qaeda-related groups. And the others are what we call FSA, Free Syrian Army, and are attached to the United States. That's a very broad generalization because there are a lot of free-floating militias as well. But those two major factions are beginning to fight it out for control over very strategic parts of this rebel-owned Syria, the north and the east of the country. And that is what we're seeing because as the stalemate goes on, the real question is who gets to control the strategic parts of this free Syria, if you will, or the rebel-controlled Syria.
We're talking now about what seems like a diplomatic breakthrough between the U.S. and Russia over Syria's chemical weapons. To the rebels, it seems almost like a betrayal. They were hoping for U.S. military action, Western military action in Syria. I imagine they must be incredibly disheartened. What happens now for them?
They are disheartened. On the other hand, the first shiploads of American arms have gotten through to the opposition. And for a long time, even though President Obama had said that he was going to begin to arm the rebels, the last time chemical weapons were used, this is way back in May, those weapons are only beginning to be delivered recently. So there is some good news for the rebels, which is that America is stepping up its role and its support. But at the same time, the rebels had become very hopeful that Turkey, Saudi Arabia, that the European powers would really jump in and that the chemical weapons would shift the balance of power and mean that the West was finally going to take it to the Assad regime. And that has not turned out to be the case.
Finally, Josh, videos have emerged this week that the BBC has concluded show Iranians fighting for Assad in Syria. This comes on top of Hezbollah's admission that they've intervened earlier this year. Could that help tip the balance in favor of Assad, those two forces working together?
Well, they have tipped the balance. I mean, a year ago, it looked like Assad was really had his back to the wall and was losing territory. Hezbollah, Iran stepped up their participation, and then momentum went on the regime side. Today, we're back to the same old, you know, stagnant battle lines. But there aren't enough Shiites in Syria. The Shiites are only about 13% of all Syria. They cannot rule over this country again. There's even a big question about whether the Assad regime can maintain control of Damascus. We've seen that many of the – Damascus is overwhelmingly Sunni city, and it's boiling with opposition. And what we're seeing in a sense here is a renegotiation of ethnic power in Syria between Shiites, 12%, Sunni Arabs, about 60%, Kurds, 10% in the northeast. Then, of course, there's other minorities making up another 10% or so, Christians and so forth. But that ethnic readjustment from a position where the minorities and the Alawite minority in particular had their foot on the necks of the Sunni majority for the last 50 years. And now they've lost that hold. They're fighting to maintain something. We don't know how much. And that's what's really in question today is how much does the Assad regime hold on to, if anything, or does it finally collapse?
Joshua Landis, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Oklahoma.